Universe.
Charmaine loved it when I did that. Kenny Rogers. You gotta know when to hold up. Know when to... I can't even do it tonight. Choke up. All right. Johnny, you got one? Anybody?
Sure. How about...
That looks good. Looks good.
How about we do 27?
Is it one we know? Because if not, you do it solo.
I can do that.
We don't know that one.
You don't? What do you need? Well, we need to.
Well, okay. But then, somebody give me a song that we know that you would like to
What's
sing.
What's 37?
What's that?
I don't know. I saw it and I forget.
Anything for the Facebook is pretty good.
Oh, my goodness. Or 36. My fortunes are gone.
Yeah. Make up your mind.
Either one.
Make up your mind.
They're both great.
Make up your mind. 36. The mighty fortress is our God. Jenny made your mind up for you.
All right, that's fine. But I like that one better.
36.
Sing out, because I'm not going to be much help.
Seek to work on.
All right, one more request.
One from the Facebook. It has to be from
the
Facebook.
No, either one. Whichever one you, whoever blurts it out first, it's one we know.
The Enoch song?
All creatures of our God and King.
You already picked one.
I know, but no, let's just sing them all.
Janie?
Come on.
Page 54 in the praise book.
Praise book. Okay.
Thank you.
And what's the name of the song?
We'll take you home later.
Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Which one?
Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Praise
Thank
book.
You. You have earned yourself a
page.
54.
Thank you.
54. And I just want to inform the folks online that I'm using the sickly card. I'm not contagious, but I've had a bit of a flare-up with my bronchitis and everything, and then I ran out of my vitamin D, and I had to go to the doctor, and what else did I do today? So anyway... So we are not using the songs listed on MeWe. We'll do that next week. So just keep them handy for next week unless the Lord calls us home.
I'm dedicating this song to Martha.
Dedicating this song to Martha, who has had the procedure, I'm sure, by now.
She's supposed to have one.
So we're praying for her recovery. A lot of people praying for her. They call these things minor surgery, but I don't think there's such a thing minor, but just pray she gets better soon. Let's sing about this is a song Jenny wrote. Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Thank you. Well, you come here long enough, you can get
You don't come to church and just always do what you already know. You're supposed to come here to learn new.
You
don't
have a bar to tell me if it goes up or down.
True.
You read music?
No. But my mom said, my mom always told me, if the notes go up, it goes up.
The important thing is that this song is great.
Amen. And you worship the Lord and the beauty.
It's actually Bible, you know. John 14, 6.
You listen to the words.
Yeah. You don't know that song, you don't know the Bible. It's almost all Bible. Especially the chorus, it's all Bible. She's a Baptist, and she's going to have to get over it. You're going to get over it. God says that you're supposed to want to grow, not get stuck. Yeah, but you got to grow. That's.
We'll have an intervention. Just kidding. No, we love you, Jessica. We know you're set in your ways. We'll get you out of it.
Just turn over to page 19.
In the
praise book.
Amen.
Yay.
The Lord liveth.
Amen.
Again, this is Bible. So you don't know this song. And if you're familiar with the Bible, you should be familiar with it.
It's not a thing with Jenny, so. Not that I have anything with Jenny or anything
with Jenny.
I was like,
yes,
that's home.
Amen. At some point.
Besides Jessica and Jane, because they already picked.
Well, God,
H-Y. I used to be able to pick the hymns out of the book and start playing them on the piano, so maybe that's all right.
I think the personality of this place, and you're not going to get them at that other church.
All right, if you guys don't come up with one, I'm going to pick one.
Turn to page 500.
All right.
Joe Biden.
You too slow, you snooze, you lose.
It's been a while since we've sung this, too.
It's okay. Everybody's still the pastor's favorite.
We're going to do it in C, so I can sing harmony.
Yeah, that's right.
Roll.
your prayer request into bbfohio@protonmail.com. If you're online.
We'll have to pray for
him later. No, I can get
him. Okay.
We're not using the cameras.
Don't have it.
He didn't bring it.
That's
why.
You were fired, Johnny, obviously.
What do you mean?
So, if you're here, you can still fill out a prayer card. Prayer
card?
I think Jenny Allbaugh would be happy to bring you one if you raise your hand.
Jenny's
already got some.
Am I injured?
She beat you to it.
I appreciate you, Jamie. Thank you.
And those of you who are here, if you notice, the nice job of vacuuming was by Janie. And then I think Mary and Rick might be watching by now online, and Rick was able to help us get our rugs down so they won't fly all over the place. Not supposed to be flying carpets. But, we appreciate that. They won't be. We still didn't do this one because I wasn't sure we could do that, but these over here, it's really nice not have to move those around every few minutes. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. There's, do you see the contigo there?
Yes.
I just.
Do you want coffee?
No, I just didn't want to leave it here again. That's why I left it. It was hidden.
What's so perfect?
All right. Psalm 20, verses 6 through 9. And we're picking up where we left off. We covered verses 1 through 5. And we'll get right into the Bible study with the word of prayer. Good to have a visitor with us tonight, Brother Doug. You look good. You look like you're over whatever was ailing you.
Yeah, definitely down.
We ask you to go ahead and open the Bible study with prayer.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord, for this time, this meeting. Pouring out your blessings and, you know, love and everything, and just we thank you, Lord, for everything. I mean, we're basically spoiled, we constantly want more, and we're not satisfied with what we have. Lord God, we just thank you for everything that you've done for us, and just keep pouring out your blessings. We're just so grateful. You know, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for the pastor, to bring out the nuggets that we need to hear in the word of God, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm grateful. Feeling, great.
Thank you. Yeah. Feeling a little more energetic. I think the donut had something to do with that.
Definitely not the coffee.
If you didn't get one of those, and if there's any left, those were good. All right, Psalm 20. In the previous verses, for context, just want you to look at that. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. When we're reading the Psalms, we need to keep in mind they're written by a Jew under Mosaic law. And they also have a lot of prophecy. Prophecies about the first coming of Messiah, but also prophecies about the second coming of Messiah. We get to Psalm 22, we'll really see that brought out. A lot of the prophecies are just about Israel. That Israel, when David wrote his Psalms, which I believe this is one of them, yes, it says right there at the top, the heading, to the chief musician, a Psalm of David. That is, he was writing before the kingdom was even split. Keep that in mind. It was just one united kingdom. So some of the prophecies in Psalms are about the splitting of the kingdom that would happen under Rehoboam, Solomon's son. Some of the prophecies are about the Babylonian captivity that would happen when Nebuchadnezzar's armies would come down, but then some of them appear to refer to the Syrian captivity. And the Syrian captivity happened somewhere in the 8th century B.C., when, I'm thinking 707, but is when Syria came down and took the northern kingdom tribes, which were all but Judah and the Levites that were in Jerusalem, and also some of the tribe of Benjamin. The rest were taken, and if you read about what happened with the Syrian captivity, it's a gruesome affair. But God warned them. He said, if you want my blessing, you follow my word. If you don't follow my word, all I'm going to do is this. Lift my hands. We need to recognize that in our lives. We just get so cocky and take everything for granted, and we don't realize our lives are blessed by God's protection. And so it says, the name of God, of the God of Jacob, defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary. That's literally talking about sending help from the temple in Jerusalem. Now, we don't have that temple idea, but we do have a sanctuary. Number one, you are the temple of God.
Amen.
And then there's the heavenly sanctuary, of which the earthly is modeled on. And so we went into all that in our previous study, but now come down to verse 6 with that same mindset as we read. Just read verse 6 with me.
Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand.
Now, that word anointed sometimes is referring to the Messiah. Other times, it's referring to Israel as a nation. Other times, it's referring to the kings of Israel. There, you remember the passage, touch not mine anointed, nor do my prophets no harm. And that is about Israel, not about TV preachers. And you'll hear TV preachers, when they're criticized for doing wrong things and bad things, they'll quote that verse. Oh, you shouldn't be criticizing the man of God. Touch not mine anointed, the God. The word says, well, in that context, it's not talking about that. But go over to 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. First John chapter, let's see. Well, it's chapter 2, verse 27. 1 John 2, 27. Jenny Miller, will you read that?
But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
You see, all believers have this anointing. The question is, will we live that anointing? Will we? It's like so many other things that God has promised us. You have to receive it. You have to live and walk in it.
Amen.
And what's this mean? Well, the fact is, if you will read your Bible and you will live a life that is consecrated to the Lord and allow His Spirit to be your guide, give up more of yourself to His Spirit, what you will find is the more you study, the more you learn, and the more you want to learn. And so the need for a teacher like me should be minimal to the Christian. And what really, when you come into the local church meeting like we are right now, you should have been studying your Bible. And when you come in here, yeah, you can learn something new. But you can also sharpen, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. And that's how we work in the local church. And so that's why I like when you have a good comment that's related to the study and everything. I like to hear that. If you have a scripture, you know, that you think is fitting, especially on Wednesday nights and in our Sunday school, we call it Romans Open Bible Study for a reason. Because during that time, we like to hear more from everybody in the room. If you have something, like I said, it's about the text or a scripture, because of this verse right here. This is why we have that attitude. There's a lot of churches where you would never get any kind of interaction. What's it called? Interactivity. They call it interactive. Now, during the Sunday morning service, especially when you have more people, it's a little harder to have as much of that going on. But I don't have a problem. I've always let everybody know I don't have a problem with you respectfully raising your hand and having a comment or a scripture because of that verse right there. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. You say, well, I don't need to go to church then. Now, that's not what it's saying. The local church is not a necessity for your salvation. The local church is not a necessity for you to live the Christian life. It's supposed to be a gift and a blessing. It's supposed to be to help you. I mean, you know, you could live on eating the same two or three things every day of your life, but it's nice to have some variety. Amen? Uh-huh. And that's the way a local church, you get out of your own head for a little while and you get to hear what other people have to say. It does?
I like to fill my spiritual gas tank, and then when you go out there, you spend it.
Yeah.
You help to other people.
And it's not just the Bible study that does that, the fellowship.
Exactly.
Praying together, singing like we are.
Church family. Well,
Psalms, yeah. Hymns, yeah. And what? And in spiritual songs. So we're going to get Jessica to accept the Bible on that. The whole verse. But look over it. Well, in verse 6 it says, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Look over at 1 Peter. I think I... 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 3. No, chapter 1. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. I'll read that first verse where you're turning there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, that's being born again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I just want to throw this in there. You will not grow if your growth isn't founded upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you were saved the moment you believed on that death, burial, and resurrection for eternal salvation. That Jesus, dying on the cross, paid for your sins, shedding his blood, and in his death paid the full price for your sin. That's why when he was on the cross, he didn't say, I've done my part.
That's right.
When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. The payment for your sins, fully made on that cross. But then he had to put the icing on the cake. And that was the resurrection. When he rose from the dead bodily, he won the victory. He demonstrated his power over sin and over death and over hell, so that those that put their trust in his work on the cross and his resurrection have eternal life. That's where it has to start, and your growth has to remain on that foundation throughout your life, or you'll go off the deep end, you'll make shipwreck. Johnny?
What was the book in Psalms that we're in?
20?
I missed it.
20? Yeah.
Okay.
Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I just want to read that again because it says begotten us again. That's referring to being born again. How many of you know Christians or professing Christians, and I can name denominations, where they never preach that you must be born again? And it's repeated over and over. Here's another example. When he says, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again. You were born in the flesh as a human being, human baby. You become old enough and mature enough mentally to understand that you're a sinner and that you've sinned against God and that you need saved. You can understand the gospel. At that point, then you have to make a decision. A choice to believe and be saved. And when you do that, at that moment, you are born again.
Amen.
And that's what this is describing. That he has begotten us again unto a lively hope, meaning it's your source of life. You live with this knowledge and the blessings from that resurrection. So now look what it says in verses 4 and 5. Read that with me.
To inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you,
who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If you just think you're going to do this thing your way, you're going to do it on your own, you're going to fall flat on your face. The only way to do it is God's way. First of all, you cannot be saved unless you do it God's way. You cannot be saved unless you go empty-handed toward God with repentance and believe on that gospel. And then living the Christian life, as soon as you think you have the answers, as soon as you think that you can figure this thing out and do things your way, you're going to implode. The only way to do it is God's way, and that's why you have the assurance. You don't have to have all kinds of anxiety and everything about your salvation and about your walk with the Lord, because it says you're kept by not your power. Look what it says in verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So you have this expectation and desire for the time, this last time. When the Bible talks about salvation, there's salvation in the personal sense. In the spiritual sense. But there's also salvation to come. You know what you need saved from right now? You need saved from this body you're in.
Amen. Yeah.
Your body's broken down. You're falling to pieces. You need a new body.
Amen.
And so what's going to happen? In the last time, the dead in Christ rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And at that moment is when you get a new body. That's the ultimate salvation. Stephen, go on.
Yeah, I heard just maybe 2 nights ago that if you just wake up and go to sleep and wake up again, you're reborn.
Have you ever said that's, not getting that from the Bible? I'll put it that way.
You die a little bit every night. Every night you die.
That's not what the Bible said. And that's a thing. You have to listen to what anybody says and search the scriptures.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Bible says that you're born again by believing on Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. It doesn't have anything to do with sleep habits. Yeah. Yeah, Johnny?
Just want to mention, I can see how they could take something up from the Bible out of context to get that. Because the Bible does talk about, the death of saints as sleep.
Yeah.
And that would be taking that out of context,
right,
to claim that sleeping.
Those that sleep in Jesus are talking about those who are dead.
Yeah.
It's not talking about sleep in your bed and waking up the next day.
Okay.
Yeah. Excuse me. So that is basically a spiritual truth from this verse about God. And in this dispensation, his anointed, he's talking about us. Now, when this was written, it was the nation of Israel. But the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Right.
So there you go again with dispensationalism. We've got the chart right up in the corner there that you can download online at our website showing these different dispensations. It's just that God deals with man differently now than he did before Jesus came. And after the rapture, it'll change for 7 years. And then after the second coming, it'll change for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, it'll change again for all of eternity. And so understanding that difference, there is a 70th week application to this, the Great Tribulation. God's going to save Israel again. First of all, look over at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And you sometime read the whole chapter to check the context and everything, but we're going to start verse 25. We're going to go from 25 to 27. Romans 11, 25, 11, 25 through 27. If you dare read it with me. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, I'll stop you there. There's all kinds of, and I'm talking the mass majority of so-called pastors, teachers, rabbis, whatever, they reject what you're reading right now. But we believe the Bible. And it says that there's been blindness in part. What's that mean? Well, some of the greatest Christians for 2,000 years have been Jews. So it's not been a full, complete blindness. But this partial blindness will happen until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And that then will take them, that is when the Great Tribulation, Daniel 70th week begins.
What is the fullness of the Gentiles?
That's when the Gentile bride is taken out in the rapture. And then it begins then with the confirmation of the covenant, Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist, Israel, and the world. And then, Paul, without filling in the blanks, jumps right to the end of the story. Look at verse 26 and 27, read that. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. That doesn't happen until the end of the 70th week of Daniel. When Jesus Christ returns, he will save Israel. Now, they will have been, two-thirds of them will have been killed before that time. But Israel that remains, when Jesus returns, he saves them all. Go over to Revelation 12. We don't have time to run all the reference on this, but we've gone through every verse of the book of Revelation. It's available free of charge on the internet. And you can go back and listen to our teaching. Verse 12, verse 1 describes Israel. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And that 12 stars is what represents the 12 tribes of Israel. Go back to Genesis 36 for the reference when Joseph had the dream with the 11 stars, and he was the 12th one. And then she, being with child, cried. Why? Because Jesus came forth of Israel, travailing in birth and being in pain to be delivered. And we can't get into all this, but jump down to verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness during the tribulation period with 1,260 days left. That's 3.5 years, midway through the 7-year period. The woman will flee into the wilderness. Now, we can't run the references again, but we believe it's Petra, the land of Edom, Seir. It's where the rock city Petra is, and it's in the wilderness. And you read wilderness in the Bible, it's a desert. And it says, where she hath a place prepared of God. You can actually go to Petra right now and see this place. And they're actually doing things to prepare it for a large number of people. And when I think it was Noah Hutchings was there and interviewed, and they said, well, what do you think is going to cause that many people to come here? And they were like, I don't know. It's like they're doing this without even knowing why they're doing it. And they're getting it ready for Israel. And look what happens there. It says that they should feed her there 1,203 days. That's 1,260 days, which on the lunar-based calendar of Israel, that's 3.5 years. So this happens midway through the seven-year period. And what happens in verse 7? Read that with me. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now read 8. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. There's going to be this heavenly warfare. Now, are they going to see that? Are the people on earth going to see that? I don't think so. It's in the spiritual realm. If you go back to Daniel, though, it's Gabriel. And you'll see Gabriel and Michael and the angels fighting back in Daniel's day and fighting with the prince of Grecia. And the prince of Persia is mentioned. And there's all this fighting in the spiritual realm going on. Now listen, you can't see angelic warfare right now. And any efforts you make to do so is probably just going to put you into the occult. So you shouldn't try. But we're a three-dimensional being right now. And scientists are pretty sure of themselves that there's a fourth dimension. And as a matter of fact, a lot of what they call quantum engineering and quantum mechanics and those levels of science are based on the idea of a fourth dimension that we can't even see. It's like a theoretical world that they know is there because, like you said about the speed of light, Johnny, when you do the formulas and you plug that in and it works, then we have to believe it's there. And so that's what they do with the fourth dimension. And I believe when we are glorified and in our heavenly form, we're going to be beyond four dimensions. And we're going to see things that with these eyes right now, we cannot see.
Amen.
Now, the eye is an amazing thing. And if you never studied the eyeball and how we see things, you ought to really study that. It is amazing. And yet, what's to come? You're going to see stuff like that. Yeah. Michael fighting.
That's what Job talked about, seeing his Redeemer.
Yeah.
With his eyes.
Yeah, with my eyes. Now, there'll be glorified eyes at that. So verse 9, it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is a great victory at the end of the tribulation period. The beast, the false prophet, are thrown into the lake of fire. The devil is thrown into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and that's the length of the millennium. At the end of the millennium, God lets him loose. Why? Because God believes in free will. And God is going to give everybody, after 1,000 years of living in a perfect world, one last chance. You would think it would be like, okay, I don't expect any takers, but ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the devil. He spent 1,000 years in a bottomless pit, but if you think he's got it going on and you want to follow him, have at it. And you know what's going to happen? The Bible says they'll have at it. There's going to be a huge multitude rebel against Jesus Christ. And then he speaks and they die.
Yep.
That's all there is to it. The word speaks, they die, and then we get on with eternity after the great white throne judgment. Isn't that exciting? You ready for that?
Yes.
So verse 7, back in Psalm 20, is telling us we have to trust the Lord. Now, it's not going to be all that, you know, bells and whistles all the time when God saves your hide. But God does save you, and he keeps you. And when he finally pulls you out of this earth, if you're dead, you'll be with him, and you come back with him, and he's going to pull your body out of the earth, and you're going to put that thing on, and it's going to be glorified.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a salvation there. And in verse 7 says, read that with me, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And we're not trusting in this world, our government. We're not trying to, you know, bring world peace. Now, I'm all for peace if you can get it without turning against God.
Amen.
The problem with world peace as we see it today, it's mostly a Marxist movement. And it's a godless, Darwinian, antichrist movement, what they call world peace today. Back in the late 80s, I hung out with some of those people for a little while, and I can tell you, they are some of the nastiest people I was ever around in my life. Talking about peace, 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 they stab you in the back without even blinking. And it was a shock to me. But God used that to help me understand, listen, bub, that's what you're going to get when you try to get peace without the Prince of Peace. And so that was not too long after that I got saved. And I'm looking forward to being under his rule. Go to, in Psalms, look at Psalm 118. Psalm 118:8. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Look at Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. Read that. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now, I've been criticized a number of times, especially after Donald Trump was elected, because I appreciated the things he did. And people say, you're looking for Trump as your savior. No, I know Donald Trump. I don't even know if he's even, I don't have any reason to believe he's even a saved man. And I didn't ever look for Donald Trump as a savior. And anybody who goes back and listens, beginning in the summer of 2016, I said, what we're praying for is a reprieve.
Yeah.
We're praying that they'll slow down this Marxist, sodomite, United Nations, anti-American agenda that we've had from the Democrat Party and progressives in the Republican Party. And we got it. It wasn't a whole lot of headway made in the other way that stopped things. It made a standstill. Now what are we seeing? Now we're going back down that hill, back down the wrong road, back down, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah and Karl Marx's dream come true. We don't put our trust in man. We don't put our trust in princes. We put our trust in the Lord, but we do support men who do the right thing. It's like all this talk about cops. Let me tell you something. 99 out of 100 cops are the best people on the planet.
Yeah.
But when you've got millions of, I don't know, how many cops are there in this country? I don't even know. And if 1 out of 100 of those are bad, there's going to be a lot of bad stuff. And so they're going to catch it on video and they're going to put it out there and they're going to stir everybody up. Not because they really care about you. It's so that they can bring the whole system down and then inflict us with a godless Marxism. That's what the goal is.
It says that in 2019 there were 697,195.
Now what's 1% of that?
I don't know. 1% would
be about 7,000, wouldn't it? 1% of
700,000. Where's the math wisdom in the room?
I think it's about 7,000.
Well, what's 10%?
Now, you think about it. If all those cops are doing, 99% of those cops, only 700,000. They're doing the right thing day in, day out. But 1% in any given year do something bad. And that's the only thing your news media ever tells you about.
Yep.
They're stirring the pot.
Definitely.
And it's because they have their trust in man and princes. Their whole life, and not just this life, they don't even, most of them believe in anything really when it comes to eternal life. They put all their marbles in this box and they want to imagine there's no heaven. No hell below us. Amen? It's easy if you try. And that's what they're all about. They want to set up a Marxist world in or on earth. And what's sad is how many, in the name of Christianity, Whole denominations today are caught up in that. They've totally forgotten what we're reading in Psalm 118 and what that we just read in Psalm 20, verse 7. What happens to these people who put all their marbles in the earthly box? Read verse Psalm 20, read verse 8. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. That's the choice you're making. If you're going to follow this world and make the world a better place to go to hell in, then what's going to happen to you? You are going to be brought down and fallen. But if you will put your trust in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, and what He's promised for the future, then you're going to be risen. The dead in Christ rise first, and then we which are alive remain, are caught up in the air. We're going to be risen and stand upright.
Amen.
Look at Ezekiel 33:11. Because God tells us all of this as a warning. And let me tell you something else. We talked about it. When it comes down to the actual infliction of God's judgment on wicked people and their wickedness, God is going to enjoy it. Now, that's what a lot of people don't want to believe about God. But between now and that day, He doesn't want anyone to fall under His wrath.
That's right.
That's what verse 11, Ezekiel 33, read verse 11 with me. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And that's true. It's not just the house of Israel, although that's who that is directed toward right there. If you look in 2 Peter, you'll hear us quote this verse many times. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And the context is all about what we're talking about. Look at verse 7. It says, let me see, verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, it doesn't say that he's happy about this. What's it say? Look at verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. How many of you heard people say, well, it's been 2,000 years, and He hasn't come back yet? That was predicted. The Bible says in the last days, scoffers will come, saying, where is thy coming? Where is His coming? But to God, it's been a couple of days. 1,000 years is like a day to Him. So it's been like a couple of days. Hosea, you remember in our Hosea studies, talked about Israel, said Israel for 2 days would be dead, and then on the third day, He would raise them back up. Well, that's 2,000 years, and that raises them up at the end of the tribulation for the millennium.
Yeah.
But He calls them 2 days. And that's where we are. Now read verse 9 with me. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So don't get Him wrong. He's not willing that any should perish, but He gives you a choice. And if you choose darkness, then you choose His wrath. And the Bible says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. What do you have to do to go to hell? You ask somebody that question, you'll get some wild answers. You know what you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. You are already going to hell unless you have put your faith in that gospel.
Amen.
Unless you've trusted in Jesus on the cross, you said, Jesus, I see that you've died on the cross to pay for my sin. They buried you, but after 3 days you rose from the dead. I'm putting my trust in you and in what you did. I believe you can save me, and I ask you to save me. And that's what you say in your heart. That's what, when you say, I believe the gospel, that's what you're saying. Amen. And at that moment, you're begotten again.
Amen.
And in the end, you will have risen and stand upright.
Right.
So this closed in Psalm 20, verse 9. Psalm 20, verse 9. Read that. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Isn't that good stuff there? Look over, we'll close in Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Verse 16. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Read 16 and 17 there. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, and at noon, will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we take for granted? Isn't it a wonderful thing? We know that if we call on our Father, he's going to hear us. And we do take it for granted. You know why? Because it is granted. It is a fact. And so what we should do is not become ungrateful. You know what an ingrate is? You ever heard somebody called an ingrate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the typical Christian today.
They're unthankful.
Unthankful. And not even on purpose, not, you know, they just don't think about it. They don't allow themselves to think about what God's done for them. They're ingrates. They're not thankful. That's why I love Thanksgiving. And I love, when it's not Thanksgiving, singing songs about Thanksgiving.
Amen.
And being thankful. Sure. What?
You should sing number 20.
You want to sing number 20 and it's closed?
Yeah. In the praise book.
In the praise book.
Yay. Praise book.
Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
I just love to, well, first of all, I love the fact that God does not require us to put on a big show. You can be anywhere at any time and pray. It can be as noisy, and I'll tell you, I was here, this, I experienced this one time, as noisy as a rock concert around you. And you can get alone with God right there. And the last time I went to something like that, I prayed and said, Lord, you get me out of here alive and I will never come back to anything like this. I didn't feel like my life was under... but it was just so crazy. And I wasn't enjoying it because I was saved and my enjoyments had changed. What I used to enjoy, I didn't enjoy it anymore. Like the old black song, black, what do they call them? Black gospel, black spiritual. That's what they call them. Things that I used to do, I don't do no more. You remember that? Things that I used to do, I don't do no more. Why? I don't like doing them anymore. It's been a great change since I've been born. Yeah. Now you gotta white it up. Listen to him whiten it up. But why? Because I don't enjoy that stuff anymore. If you still enjoy doing that stuff, you need to ask yourself, wait a minute, why aren't my desires changing? I'm supposed to be a new man. I'm supposed to be a new woman. Why haven't I changed my desires? I don't try to get up here and make anybody doubt their salvation. What I'm trying to make you do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, I know as your child, I shouldn't desire these things. These things are wrong and I know they're wrong. I shouldn't desire. Help me take those desires away from me. Help me to live what I profess. And not just in front of other people, but inside. When I'm all alone. You know what the wicked, when they're all alone, they say, the Lord doth not see. He doth not see. No one sees him. And sadly, that's how a lot of Christians, they get alone, they suddenly act like they're practical atheists. They act like God's not there. God's not seeing what's going on. And folks, you get caught up in this world, you can get that mindset, and it really makes shipwreck of your life. What do we understand that on the one hand, we can call on Him at any moment, and in Jesus' name, He hears your prayer. Not calling on Him doesn't turn Him off. Doesn't cause Him to go dark. He's still there. And that also is a assuring thing for someone who's going through something terrible and feels like He's not there. He is there. It's not based on how you feel. He's there. Let's sing about this. This song has the same thing to it. Page 20, if you can't stand. Sanctuary. For this time in your word. Thank you for helping me to get through and not losing my voice. Yeah. Thank you for everyone here tonight who's come hungry for your word and received something. We just pray, Lord, you'll be with each one as we travel home this evening. And Lord, that we will live always and constantly aware of your presence, to walk in your presence, and to always be praying without ceasing. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for Jesus and his shed blood, the power of his resurrection, and his soon return to take us home. We pray, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, those online, it's good to have you with us tonight. Hope everything sounded good. The sound and stream was well. And so we'll say goodnight as usual on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Good night, y'all.